things that we've heard with regard to this love, I hope that we come here to learn that. But I hope when we leave here, we carry it with us and show that every day that we live. That make a difference. Certainly appreciate the things that we've been taught this morning. I'd like to call your attention now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I hope that what we have to say at this point will not cause you to forget anything you've been taught to this point, but I do hope that it will be certainly in harmony with the lesson that we've already been taught. The love of Christ, the love of God, that love that He's shown us, how we should rejoice in it and try as best we can to be like Him, that we can show that kind of love to one another. Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm going to begin in verse 9. We may have to touch on some of the context of what's already been said, but verse 9 particularly, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes," get that now, "for your sakes," that's love, isn't it? "Yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." As you might expect, the rich that he's speaking of there is not according to the world's standards, but the true riches. True riches. Paul began by saying, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." What we've been hearing this morning was a great deal about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve what He came to do, did we? We still don't deserve what He came to do. But the grace, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, without Christ, there is no grace. I mean, that's the object. That is what God purposed to do to save us from our sins, was to send His Son into this world. That love that God has for us, that foreknowledge, that love that God set upon His people before the foundation of the world, that love that was manifested by Jesus coming into this world, that love that we feel in our hearts when He causes us to be born of His Spirit and drawn unto Him, that love is what draws us to Him. And so that grace that God blesses us with, that grace that teaches us, that grace also exhorts us to respond to Him in a way that brings glory to His name and bears fruit in our lives. And that's what we've been hearing about this morning. That love that needs to come forth in our lives in such a way that it's Christ-like love. That love needs to be born in our lives. All right? Now, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich." How rich was He? What kind of riches are we talking about? Well, He was with the Father. Think about that for just a minute. Now, obviously, He didn't have the body that He had when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, yet He was with the Father, wasn't He? All right? And as being with the Father, when you read in the Scriptures and you hear that God said, He being the Word, this is Christ as the Word of God being taught to us throughout the Scriptures. All right? John would tell us in the beginning of the Gospel according to John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Okay, and he says, and all things that were, and by him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. All right? So when God created this world, it was the Word, the creative Word speaking these things into existence. And it's that same Word as he came into this world, as he told us of the will of the Father. And bless your hearts, we find that same power and that same love. Though he was rich, he was with the Father. He had he enjoys all things with the Father. All right? But when it came time, when the fullness of time was come for him, for the Word to be made flesh and dwelt among us, we find he laid aside his deity. Now, he's still the Son of God. But the Word was made flesh. He became a man. Still the Son of God, still having all power. But he laid aside his deity. And his glory was veiled in human flesh. Now, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? That the God of glory could be veiled in human flesh and dwell among us. But that's our Savior. That's Christ. All right? So though he was rich with the Father, possessing all things, having all power both in heaven and in earth, he says, though he was rich, for your sakes, he became poor. Let me read you a couple of verses out of Psalm 50. Though he was rich, listen to what Psalm 50 says. just a couple of ideas from the Old Testament about how rich he was. Verse 10, he says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Drop down to verse 12, in the interest of time. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. The possessor of all things, in control of all things, though he was rich. Okay? He goes on to say, yet for your sakes. Now, when you read that, doesn't that endear you to him? Doesn't that help you to understand that there was love involved here in what God did in sending his Son to this world? For our sakes. You stop and think about all that Jesus did was according to the will of God. And all of that was for our sakes, to save his people from their sin. That's love, isn't it? That's long-suffering. That's all those things that Brother John has been speaking about as far as what the Scripture says about the love of God. All of that was demonstrated in what Jesus came to do to save his people from their sins. Though he was rich, all right, he says, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Now listen, he still had all power, didn't he? He said that. I have all power. All power is given unto me, he says, both in heaven and in earth. He had all power. But you know, he never used it for himself. Stop and think about that. Though he had all power, both in heaven and in earth, he never used it for himself. Do you remember after his baptism, when he was led into the wilderness and Satan tempted him? Do you remember how the Satan said, well, you're hungry, command these stones that they be made bread. Well, that would have satisfied his natural hunger, wouldn't it? But it would not have been according to God's will. And he would have been doing the bidding of Satan. He's not going to do that. He could have. He could have made those stones bread, couldn't he? Could have been the best bread that's ever been tasted by mortal lips, you know. But bless your hearts, He never used that power. Though he became poor, he still had that power. But he didn't use it for himself. Now, so when Satan tempted him, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to take him and Peter drew a sword and cut off Malchus's ear. Remember that? Jesus told him, put up thy sword. Knowest thou not that I could call unto the Father and he would presently give me 12 legions of angels? He had that power. He could have done that to defend himself, but that would not have been according to the will of the Father. That would not have been in keeping with what he came to do in this world, even on the cross. There were those that railed upon him. Save thyself and us. He could have done that. As far as the power that he had, he could have done that. But as far as being obedient to the Father, he could not have done that. Because it was God's will that he suffer and die to save us from our sins. Again, we could say it was love that kept him there upon the cross. You talk about long suffering. You talk about not remembering how others have offended. I tell you, you've got a great, perhaps the greatest of all pictures of love with Jesus hanging there upon the cross. Yet for your sakes, he became poor. What kind of poverty are we talking about here? Well, he humbled himself. Philippians 2 and 8. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Would you die for someone? You might. You might die for someone, but they'd have to be awfully close to you, wouldn't they? You'd have to love them tremendously, wouldn't you? What if they'd offended you many times? What if they'd oftentimes had done things that was contrary to your will? You see, do you understand what Jesus did for us? When God sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins, he didn't save us because we were so lovable to him. When we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Oh, think about it. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became poor. He laid aside his deity. His glory was veiled. He came down to this earth, took upon him the form of a servant, and humbled himself even to the death of the cross. Do you see love in that? If you know anything about spirituality, you ought to see love in that. He became poor. That ye, through his poverty, might be made rich. Oh, couldn't there have been another way for him to have done that? Did he have to suffer? Did he have to do all these things? Yes. Well, why do you say that? Why is it that you would say that he had to do just that? Because the truth had already been spoken through the prophets. God had already prophesied how it would be that he would be born in this world, that he would suffer. Remember Isaiah 53 that we talked about last week? All of these things had been prophesied, and so he was fulfilling what God had already told us. And in so doing, though he was rich, he had to become poor. Why, even in his birth, he was born among the poorest of poor. Remember that? The law required a lamb to be offered. But if they were too poor, they could offer two turtle doves. And that's exactly what was offered in satisfaction of the law at his birth. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, through what Jesus did for us, through all the things that he accomplished for us, that is how, as he became poor, that we might be made rich. Think about that for just a moment. How are we made rich through his poverty? What is it that we're given? Again, like we mentioned earlier, we're not talking about according to man's standards. We're not talking about the riches that so many in the world consider to be riches. We're talking about what God says are the true riches that we're to have. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and say that in connection with what he's done for us, then true riches are we are to be rich in good works. If we understand what Jesus has done for us when he was made to be poor and what he accomplished for us, then bless your hearts, we ought to be rich in those good works, showing gratitude and giving glory to his name by bearing much fruit of the Spirit. All right? That's how we show love to God, isn't it? He loved us. He couldn't have shown us any greater love than the giving of his Son for our sins. But the way we show our love to him in return is by keeping his commandments and bearing fruit to his glory. All right, so how is it then that we're made rich, that ye through his poverty might be made rich? Bless your hearts as we think about all that he's done for us. What riches do we have today because of what Christ accomplished for us? Well, we could talk about a lot of things. The time's about gone. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Is a new creature. I want you to pause and think about what that statement says. If any man be in Christ, in other words, all that God purposed to do by sending his Son to this world and what Jesus would accomplish for us, is a blessing and benefit to those for whom Jesus died. All right, so if any man be in Christ, in other words, any man chosen in him before the foundation of the world, any man for whom Jesus came to this world to suffer and die for, says he is a new creature. That tells me that it will benefit all for whom Jesus died. There's a lot of debate among many about just who is, will all the elect hear the gospel? Will all the elect respond to the gospel? Will all the elect do this or that? Just what is it? You know, we have abortion that's rampant in this country today. Are all of those babies that are aborted in the womb, are they quickened by the grace of God? What is it? Well, to that specifically, I'll say, yes, they have to be quickened by the grace of God. When we are conceived in this world, we are sinners by nature. Whether we're ever sinners by practice or not. And so something has to be done for us to be in the presence of God. And the only thing that can enable us to be in the presence of God is for him to send his Spirit and quicken us and change us. Now, when God chooses to do that, that's up to him. You know, sometimes it happens at an early age. We have record in the scriptures that John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. It seems to be, now this may be conversion, but it seems to be in the life of some that God waits until they're older in years. I don't know that. I don't even know when I was born of the Spirit of God. Do you? I know folks talk about a time and a date or whatever. I really think they're talking about their conversion. But whenever it pleases God, we have to be changed before we can dwell in His presence. Isn't that a richness? Isn't that a great blessing that God has given us through His Son? Sure is quiet today. Nobody get any blessings this week? All right. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature. That tells us it's not that he can be a new creature. He is a new creature. God knows them that are his. He sent his Son to this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. That is what was necessary for us to be with him in glory. Being a new creature. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God has blessed us with these riches. We're not talking about gold and silver, are we? We're talking about the true riches, those things that God has given us because of what Jesus has accomplished for us that will bless us in this life and help us and enable us to be with Him in glory. That's riches. That's something the world can't give you. And bless you, I'm thankful the world can't take it away, can they? Amen. So, wisdom. Do you realize that all that you need in this life in way of wisdom is available to you through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? I hope you do. Now, whether we avail ourselves to it is another matter. Whether we're willing to pray to God and pray to God and continue to pray to Him for the answers that we're looking for is another matter. Oftentimes we faint along the way instead of continuing to pray for those things that we stand in need of. But don't you think that if God sent His Son to this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins, that He's willing to take care of us each day? And the answers that we need, I'm not talking about things that we might wonder about and suppositions and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the wisdom that we need to live a life that brings glory and honor to God. He will give it to you if you seek Him for it. He'll do that. He loves you that much. He loved us enough. If he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now you lay hold upon that. That wisdom that you need to live a life that would bring glory to his name, he will give you that wisdom. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Do you believe the scriptures? Do you believe he'll do that? All right, but the reason we lack many times is because we are not persistent in going to Him and begging Him for it. Now, sometimes the Lord gives us leadership and of the Spirit right away. But the Bible teaches us, Luke chapter 18, that we're to pray and not to faint. He'll give us what we need in the way of wisdom. All right, righteousness. Let's see. He hath made him, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, says that God the Father, verse 21 I believe it is, God the Father has made Christ. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is that dependent upon you? No, that's dependent upon what God purposed to do through his Son and the riches that we have in Christ. But practical righteousness, we need to keep continually going to him and asking him for the leadership and the guidance of his Holy Spirit. We need wisdom to make the right choices. We need that love that we feel for him that he's given to us, and we need to be showing that love. The more we show that love to him, the more we'll walk in love. We can grow in love. And the more righteously we live our lives. I wish we all walked in perfect righteousness here, but we don't, do we? Why not? We need to be seeking him, don't we? Seems like that we come short in seeking and asking and following him and studying his word so that we can know how to be more long-suffering, so that we can know how to be deal with one another in such a way that would be pleasing unto God. We need to grow in that, don't we? I believe Elder Winslet said something about that during our meeting not too long ago, about how when for the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. We need to be growing, don't we? And if we're not growing, that's part of the reason why we're not showing forth the kind of righteousness that we should. And we come short. And I know there's a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot with this, but suffice it to say, we come short. That's why God sent his Son to do a perfect work. Wisdom and righteousness. Sanctification. Basically, that word sanctification means to be set apart. He did that for us, didn't he? But you know, there's an aspect of that where we, in following his will, in seeking his will and seeking what would please him, we're to sanctify ourselves in this life. We're to follow the leadership of that Spirit. If indeed he's blessed us to understand that Jesus came and died for those that he had sanctified in Christ, if we're his, then we need to live like it. We need to live that sanctified life. We're not going to make it in perfection, are we? But we can strive to do better. Strive to do better. And the more we strive to do better, the more of his love we'll feel in our lives. The more enabled we'll be by the leadership of his Holy Spirit. The more wisdom we'll understand. The more and more and more that we'll grow in our ability to love God as we should and love one another. We need that. We need that. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Oh, bless your hearts. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that time when these bodies will be redeemed, when Christ comes again. But we're not redeemed by the riches of this world, are we? Peter speaks about how 1 Peter chapter 1... I could probably quote it, but I'm going to get over here to it just to make sure. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, listen to what he says. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed by corruptible things. Now listen. If we understand, and the more we grow in our understanding of how it is that we're redeemed, how it is that Christ made us rich, what he had to do in becoming poor, that we might be made rich. And bless your hearts, if you have this wisdom, if you have this righteousness and sanctification and redemption, if you have these riches, it is by the grace of God. All right? As much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Oh, the value that men place upon the riches of this world. Listen, none of the riches of this world had anything to do with your salvation. None of it. But it was riches involved in saving you. What is it? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Well, how were we redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That's how we're redeemed. And he's obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, we're to redeem the time, aren't we? If we've received this redemption through Christ, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bless your hearts, we ought to make good use of the time that we have here. Redeeming the time, as Paul said in Ephesians, because the days are evil. Listen, remembering how that Christ was made poor so that we might be made rich. If you carry that thought with you each day, if you remember all that Jesus suffered and all that he divested himself of so that we could be made rich in the things of God and the hope of heaven and a life that we can live in a way that would be pleasing unto God. Bless your hearts. We ought to rejoice in that love that he has manifested to us. So if we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, don't you think that he'll supply our temporal needs that we have each day? Don't you think that he'll supply what we need? Now, I'm not saying that he's going to give us everything we ask for. You know that, don't you? But don't you think, I mean, listen, do we really believe the scriptures? If indeed we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, and if he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, don't leave that out, because that's the kind of seeking that you need to do. If we're seeking our own interests, we're not going to get very far. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that? Really? Really? I mean, it's either true or it's not. Then are we laying hold on it? That he will take care of our temporal needs if we're seeking him first. He didn't say seek ye only. He knows we've got responsibilities. He knows we've got to go about doing things that we need to do in this world. But he's to have the priority in our heart's affection. The love that he has given to us is unmatched. Oh, but may we strive to love him more and try to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? That means to learn what he teaches us in this book. That means to apply those things to our daily life. That means to apply all those principles that we heard about the love of God and the kind of love that we're to have to one another. Are we doing that? Could we do it better? Got a better response from that. We come short, don't we? But God knows what we need. And so, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. The context here, and I need to close very quickly here. The context of what he's speaking of here, he was speaking about giving to the support of the saints. And he gave the example of how willing the churches of Macedonia were. And he talks about, let's see, in I'm going to back up a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'll just get verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, what is he talking about? What Christ has done for us? What God has blessed us with by his Spirit? How that we understand that Christ laid aside everything for us, came to this world, he was made poor that we might be made rich. All the blessings that we have in him as we abound. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What is it? He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love.